Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
The number here is 603-283-6160, Ian, Bonnie, and Mark joining you tonight. In the last hour, we were talking about this victim, the latest victim of the FBI, the federal government, just trying to gin up fake terrorists. His name is Mateo Ventura. He has been charged with USC 18 USC 2339C, Section C, which is the felony that carries a 10-year statutory maximum sentence. And according to 18 USC 2339C, Section C, that is concealment. Whoever is in the United States or is outside the United States and is a national of the United States, etc., knowingly conceals or disguises the nature, location, source, ownership, or control of any material support or resources or any funds or proceeds of such funds, knowing or intending that the support or resources are to be provided, or knowing the support or resources were provided in violation of the previous section, which is to say, to give to a terrorist group, knowing that they are to be provided or collected, blah, 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 shall be punished as prescribed, which is in prison for not more than 10 years. So they just have to claim that he knew what the funds were to be used for, which was ostensibly to support ISIS. And whether it was really ISIS or not, of course, is immaterial. It's just what he believed about it is the actual crime. I did find a case on Court Listener, which for listeners that don't know, Court Listener is a website. It's courtlistener.com that's tied in with the Recap plugin. And that is a really cool plugin that allows a viewer to go to the government's website, which is called Pacer. Recap is Pacer spelled backwards.
Yeah, I was going
to
print that out because I always thought that's cool.
And what it does is Pacer charges 10 cents a page for any court documents that you want to download. Recap, if you have it in your browser and you download a document from Pacer, will upload that to Court Listener and make it available publicly for free. So thank you to the folks who've already been to this particular page on Pacer and saved us a few bucks just by downloading this already. It's already up on the Court Listener site. And guess what? The latest motion in the case is the government's motion in support of pretrial detention. Yes, that's right. They're saying this 18-year-old Mateo Ventura, who was described in the news story that Bonnie read earlier tonight as being a little slow mentally, not maybe the brightest bulb in the basket.
And whom they thought was worth leaving out of prison for several years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point. Now that he cannot possibly be allowed to leave prison pre-trial, he cannot be given bail under this government motion, which has not yet been responded to by the defense. This was just, I think, posted last week, so it's pretty fresh. But it is a 19-page motion outlining why it is that this guy is such a danger to the community, even though, of course, he has what apparently no criminal history whatsoever. And they claim that he has an obsession with violence and attempted, they claim, to join ISIS and blah, blah, blah. So they're trying to keep this kid behind bars in federal detention until the trial, presuming this actually goes to trial.
And it's worth pointing out that when you're in prison, jail, instead of out free, that it's just much harder to mount a defense.
Yep. Yep, that's true. Although it didn't help me much. But it was, we did mount a good defense. It's just it didn't matter to the jury, in my case. So I wish him the best.
Well, I would have mounted an entirely different defense, but I sure thought it was a good defense when I was sitting there. So yeah. I guess I can't say too much.
Yeah, it was. I wish him the best of luck with this case. It's absolutely outrageous, once again, what the federal government's doing. But I did hit the subscribe button, so I will be keeping up to date on any developments with this particular case. We'll see how it goes, and we'll keep you up to date on it as we learn more about it. Let's go to the phones here. We got Sarah on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah. Sarah in New Mexico, going once. Sarah in New Mexico, going twice. All right, she is not there.
Usually she is when you pick up.
Indeed, indeed. So let's see, Mark, you wanted to talk about the Punisher here tonight.
Yeah, from ZeroHedge.com by Tyler Durden. That's their nom de guerre that they use for their particular articles, the ones that they don't reprint. A year ago, progressive news outlets were calling the idea of a culture war a right-wing conspiracy theory that had no basis in reality. Yet the injection of far-left politics in entertainment and media had already started years previous, with noticeable propaganda efforts in movies, streaming television, children's show and books. Even commercial advertising was replete with progressive ideological imagery by 2016 onward. The goal is relatively obvious, to erase competing ideas and viewpoints while saturating the market with only one political vision, a woke vision. It's called social engineering. Anyone who claims it's not happening in the U.S. is gaslighting. Strangely, the American comic book industry has become a major battleground in the culture war, with heroic symbols being increasingly erased or hijacked as vehicles for woke talking points.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago there was news we reported that I think it was like Superboy or Superman or something. The son of Superman or whoever it was gay.
Robin.
Like, huh?
Wasn't it Robin?
No, that would be Batman. But he might be gay too. I don't know. But in the it was the actual.
There were like three Robins.
But it wasn't like fan speculation or something. It was like an actual gay scene in the Superman comics that was causing an uproar, controversy like this.
Anything to get people to buy Superman. For God's sakes, what a boring character. A vast array of comic book characters are now race-swapped, which, by the way, they did to Nick Fury. Nick Fury was originally Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos. He was another character left over from World War II, and Nick Fury had sort of gray temples, and he was a white guy. Mm-hmm. And then they switched him over to Samuel L. Jackson in the Marvel Ultimates series, and I thought it was really good. And then Samuel L. Jackson saw that they made him Nick Fury, and now he's Nick Fury in the movies. And so, and I think he's done a great job at it.
I've never seen any of these movies, but I mean, how can you go wrong with Samuel L. Jackson?
Yeah, maybe it's not any further, you know, than the best actor for the position was a black guy. Maybe it's not any more of a conspiracy.
I don't think
there's
no
social engineering.
I mean, I'm not advocating this article, anything that it says in it. I'm simply saying that, I'm simply reading it as, you know, obviously they're taking the right point of view. And it is true, there's race swapping, if we want to talk about that, going on. And I'm fine with it if the best actor, if they tell a good story. That's what comic books are for.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be boys' soap operas.
Yeah, all the upset about race swapping is, like, to me, the least interesting thing that they are doing. I mean, they're definitely doing this woke whatever. I mean, woke is like just basically the new term for politically incorrect, or sorry, politically correct.
Correct, yeah.
Kind of things. And there's actually a strong argument that they've co-opted the term woke from the black movement from back in like the 60s and in the 70s when it meant something completely different. But you know, today in the conservative circles, it's being used to describe political correctness. And there's definitely a lot of that going on. I'm sure this article is going to get deeper into it. But like, to me, just changing an actor from a white person to a black person or a man to a woman or whatever it is that they're changing is so, to me, pointless and unoffensive. I just don't care. And it's just like you said, Mark, is it a good show? Is it a good movie? Are you entertained? Was the actor good at doing his job? Bonnie, you and I went and saw The Little Mermaid, the recent remake, the live-action remake of that one.
And I'm not like some kind of big Disney fan, but out of the Disney movies, Ariel is one of my favorite ones. And I thought it was even better than the original. And really liked Halle Bailey as Ariel.
The Black Mermaid.
And she was black. Oh, my God. It's just like, it's she's based off of a mermaid, not a historical figure, so who cares?
Yeah, I think that, you know, for me, I don't care either. If we're talking about somebody pulling off what, this is a musical. The kind of singing that goes on in a musical is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to have a very special actress to pull that off.
Act and sing. I mean, yeah, they can dub somebody.
Dance.
But it does help if the actual actress is the singer.
Right, and they had great success with Frozen, and I'm reminded of Annie. Do you remember when Annie was redheaded and white, and then, ta-da, now she's black, right?
I had no idea.
Annie, what's Annie?
The Annie, Orphan?
Oh.
Another, right, Little Orphan Annie was another musical, two live-action musicals, one that was redone, and it just didn't make any sense to do a redhead orphan in 2009 or whenever that movie came out. I don't know when it was.
Hmm.
I mean, it made a lot more sense to do a black girl, and they found one that was really great, and it was a pretty good movie.
Hmm.
It doesn't matter to me. It was pretty good. I mean, you know, again, I'm not watching a lot of you know, musicals about 9-year-old girls, but it doesn't matter to me. But you know, that's the least part. But they go on here, and they say they're converted to LGBT or have their histories rewritten to make them acceptable for modern audiences. At the same time, they promote everything from BLM to climate change propaganda to gender identity politics and anti-gay messaging. And I'd like to remind everybody, I can't tell you everything about DC Comics because I left that dreck a long time ago, but Marvel has always – I mean, Marvel was written by – it was basically three Jews that won the United States in World War II before it ever joined. I mean, they've been progressive the whole time.
Mm, okay.
And Captain America, you know, took off his Captain America outfit to protest what was happening to blacks in America. He took on his team member, the Falcon, who was a black man, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. They've always done what they thought was the right thing to do. I'm not saying it is the right thing to do, but nonetheless, comic books have been leftist, and there have been feminist characters. I mean,
for a long time,
arguably Wonder Woman was a feminist character,
mm-hmm.
made by a man. But I think Ms. Marvel, excuse me, Captain Marvel, whatever you want to call her, holds a better claim to the feminist title. But you know, nonetheless,
is Transformers Marvel or DC?
That was Marvel.
Marvel got the property, but Transformers was owned by a different company previously. But the comic was
always Marvel.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I saw it recently. I don't watch Marvel or DC's movies usually.
Oh, now the movies are surely Marvel's not involved in that.
The original animated film they were.
Oh.
In 1986.
Well, I watched that with Ian, and then we watched the new live action one. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was fun. No doubt about it.
So why would leftists target something as frivolous as comic book heroes? Because pop culture is first and foremost a playground where children grow up. And
do
by
kids
rewriting
still
heroes,
read comics? Is that a thing?
Well,
or are they making these comics for adults at this point?
I
have
think
to wonder.
That both of those things are true.
Yeah,
I think you can get comics for kids. And I definitely did, and Jack read a lot.
You did. I mean, and it would make sense that the adults who grew up with comics are buying them for their kids. But I do have to wonder, has the comic book industry seen a falling off of the purchases of these products as far as physical comics going into the hands of children? I mean, this isn't like it was in the 1980s. Number one, there probably isn't a comic book store in most people's area these days. And what are the odds that a 12-year-old or whatever is going to be hanging out at the comic book store waiting for the latest issue of Ant-Man or whatever it is? I mean, does that even happen these days?
You probably can't get them to put down their Nintendo Switch.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, Bonnie's got, what is he, 10?
10-year-old brother.
That literally, the dude does not put down the Switch with the exception of having to shove food into his mouth.
Yeah, I wanted to make my parents meet Jay Noon so they could convince them to make him stop being on the Switch.
So in 1981, the median age of, well, that's home buyers. I'm sorry, I looked up comic buyers and it gave me some home statistics.
The average age of a comic book buyer is
Yeah, you don't have to do the research right now, Mark. I was just wondering if you'd, you know, heard anything. I mean, you're a comic book fan. I didn't know if you'd happen to heard, you know, are the numbers dropping off? You would think that they
are. I can only imagine that they are. So
yeah.
When I read my comics, I read them through the Marvel app.
Okay.
I don't go to a comic book store. As much as I'd love to support a comic book store, it makes a heck of a lot more sense to me to spend $60 a year and read as many comics as I want and carry them all around on my phone, essentially, and then it does to buy comics and, you know, tote them around. And plus the fact that I worked at a comic book store for a long time, and I have this thing against sort of comics getting beaten up by being read. Now, I set that aside with my son. I wanted him to enjoy the book, not kind of coddle it like it's of something of value. And the value of comics is deteriorating. Who cares about owning a first issue when you know, you can have everything that you can read? I just want to read these things. I just want to consume the media. And so I would say that I agree with you that the average age of comic buyers is going up over time, but I couldn't whip out anything to pack that up.
Well, I mean, you're a perfect example. I mean, you're a man in his early 50s who has been converted to online consumption of something that you grew up with, right? I mean, this is you're a good example of somebody who has said, I see this new system as better. I would prefer that. Now, like in my case, I used to subscribe to The Onion, the actual physical print version of The Onion. And for listeners that don't know, it's The Onion's probably the world's most successful satire website, although I think Babylon Bee might be eating their lunch these days.
Yeah.
But for many years, The Onion was, you know, the highest level of regularly available printed satire post Mad Magazine. And The Onion stopped printing more than a decade ago because it just wasn't economically feasible for them to continue doing that. As we've seen, many newspapers cutting back. Newsprint is barely, you know, it's essentially it's on life support at this point. So it doesn't surprise me that comics have essentially gone the same direction. Now, for me, like, I don't want to read a newspaper online. It just doesn't have the same appeal to me. I liked the idea of actually physically holding the paper and going through it. But that may be a different sort of consumption method than a comic book person who's actually interested in a story. You're wanting to follow these story arcs and these characters. And so it makes sense to, from what you're saying, to pay a monthly fee and get essentially unlimited access, it sounds like, to all of the different storylines, right? That's kind of the deal?
Right, and I have my favorite characters. They show up in different locations. Often they don't have their own books, so I want to be able to get the books that have that particular character in them. I like Thanos, and I like Loki, and I like Thor, and I want to read those things. Thor does have his own title off and on. It keeps on switching around. But
you're saying it's $60 a month?
$60 a year.
Oh, a year. Oh, wow. That's actually really cheap.
It's not bad.
Yeah,
you can get whatever you want. And that's the thing is that these publishers, just like any publisher, they don't have paper, trucks, airplanes, and all that other stuff that goes into the distribution of pulp like they used to.
Was one comic, weren't they like more than $5 or $6 as of late? So, I mean, you're talking about $6 a month roughly. And
I would have guessed the comics were about $2.50 to $4.
These days? No
way. That'd be my guess.
No way. I'd
well, again, I, you know, they're only like 25 pages long.
Yeah. Well, either way, I mean, you're talking about one or two comics a month at $5, $6 a month.
No, it's just $5 a month. If it's $6 a year, it's
right.
Five times.
Yeah.
Six,
there's no way I would pay that. You know, I wouldn't pay that kind for, you know, as many comics as I want to read in a given month. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the number one thing you can do to preserve memory and word retention is to read daily for enjoyment. And this is statistically the thing that they've looked over and over again. If you want to preserve your mind, you can learn a language and you can read.
Do you get it on like a tablet or do you look it on a computer?
You should also take paracetam.
What's the way that you read these things?
I didn't love the paracetam. I mean, I took it for a while, but
maybe you're one of the 10% that it doesn't do anything to.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's focus on the comments here.
A tablet.
Okay, tablet. Got it.
So I have a phone that folds out from a regular size phone to a small tablet, and I like to read it on that.
Cool.
All right. Why would leftists target something as frivolous as comic book heroes? Because pop culture is first and foremost a playground where the children grow up. However, one figure, I'm just jumping ahead here, in particular, has seen as so egregious and so triggering that the leftists want him memory-holed altogether. The Punisher. The Punisher is a character, Frank Castle, who was originally created by writer Gary Conway in 1974 with artists Ross Andrew and John Romita. Romita, I'm familiar with, was a product of a chaotic era, a reaction to the rise of war, stagflation, instability, exploding crime rates in the U.S., and white go-go boots. The Punisher's story is a tragedy of a returning military veteran whose family is killed during what seems to be a gangland hit. With federal agencies doing little to arrest the perpetrators, Castle takes matters into his own hands and begins systematically assassinating the criminals. The concept of citizen crime stopping and vigilantism has become popular in the cultural zeitgeist in the 70s, with many people living in the metropolitan areas dealing with increasing criminal violence and unreliable government protection. City governments in places like New York were actively restricting gun rights for law-abiding citizens, which only made things easier for criminals. And you can, I mean, Ian, you better than I can name how many different Hollywood movies were about somebody shooting bad guys. Go ahead, punk. Make my day.
Sure.
You know, Dirty and Harry. All these things. Yeah. And this Punisher was essentially the Dirty Harry of comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's nothing nefarious about him.
And when did he come out? What year?
1974.
So that's literally like around the time Dirty Harry was very popular.
What was the other guy?
Charles Bronson?
That's the one.
Yeah. Death Wish.
Death Wish, yeah. God, he was great. He looked like he'd shoot you. So the same exact conditions are returning in the U.S. today. No, they're not. And the debate is boiling once again on vigilantes. Just look at the media fury over Kyle Rittenhouse or Daniel Penny.
Mm-hmm.
The media mainstream left is adamantly opposed to any form of civilian intervention unless it's Antifa or BLM, which also being adamantly opposed to any intervention by police. I just want to say one more thing about much of the crime wave that went on in the 60s, 70s, and into the 80s. This was in part government caused. So the government allowed the oil companies to use leaded gas to prevent pinging in old engines. And leaded gas is arguably the thing that drove the crime wave for decades. It drove people nuts. It made them vicious. And the government wouldn't protect people from it. I mean, that's why these movies and
leaded comics gas scenes. Made people
yep.
crazy?
Well, like yep. lead paint makes people crazy.
Huh.
And right now, the only way you can get leaded gas is for a personal aircraft.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all been gone.
The fumes? The fumes from it?
The lead doesn't go away, right? Mm-hmm. And it goes up, it's combusted, it goes out, and then it settles into the ground, and then gets into our food, and any variety of ways it gets into our system, and there's no safe amount of lead. And, yeah, that's one of the causes, in my opinion. That's the reason the crime rate's gone down.
We're going to continue here. Your calls are welcome. You want to weigh in on comics and wokeism, the potential changes coming to The Punisher. This is Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA USA News Update. Dangerous police chases involving human smugglers are becoming all too common near the Texas border with Mexico. Lisa Taylor has more.
A pickup truck loaded with people refused to pull over early this morning, leading the officers on a 20-mile pursuit. A sheriff's deputy was able to lay down spike strips on Highway 57. The truck's tires blew out and it rolled several times. Four illegal immigrants were hospitalized, including one that had to be rushed to a trauma center. They were all from Honduras. I'm Lisa Taylor.
U.S. State Department officials are deeply troubled, they say, by the Israeli government's plans for more than 4,000 new housing units in the West Bank. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller, in a statement, said the U.S. opposes these actions that make a two-state solution more difficult to achieve, they say. Israel's government announced the changes to the settlement housing process this week. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Doing a little digging online and finding statistics on the comic book industry, at least so far. There's all these websites that, you know, they want you to sign up to see the stats, etc., etc. But what I'm seeing here is actually a surprise. Apparently, comic book revenue, according to these different sources, is up over time. It is actually...
Well, I'm not surprised at that.
Yeah, they're doing very well. In fact... apparently better than ever. Record revenue.
And that's showing just the comic book sales, not like, you know, they
thing,
have all the
movies.
The
whole comic book sale. Well, yeah, maybe movies are factored in there. That's
yeah, that
a good
has
point.
To be factored in. Because there's no way the actual sale of physical comic books is better than it ever has.
According to this site, getnux.com, digital comic book sales accounted for approximately 22.5% of total sales in 2018. Now, that's 5 years ago at this point, so I don't know what the latest numbers are on that, but one out of five, roughly, several years ago isn't too shabby for digital sales. And the total number of... comic book revenue, according to this, 2020, revenue for the comic book and graphic novel market reached approximately $1.2 billion in North America. So, I mean, that makes it sound like it's just for the actual products, not for the movies. But again, that would be an interesting question to see broken down. We're talking with it's Ian and Bonnie here and Keen Mark Edge with us from Mexico City tonight. And Mark, you were sharing with us the sort of story from Zero Hedge about the wokeness in comic, which you say has actually always been there, at the very least for Marvel, from the very beginning. I want to continue with that discussion here, but we actually have some calls on the line, including Major Payne in Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
Hey. Hey, y'all doing tonight?
What's on your mind, Major?
I'm sorry you're not at the party up there, you know.
That's all right.
Being able to participate.
Just being up there one day, it was, like, so tiring.
Yeah, it's exhausting when
you're
up there.
I don't know how people do 2 weeks, a week and a half.
Drugs.
Anyway, so as far as Mark was talking about the guzzoline and lead, I do know something about guzzoline because I remember when premium was purple, regular was red, and regular gasoline was just clear. And
they had colorants in the actual gas?
Yeah, there was different colors. My 1970 Charger, oh, dude, that thing ran like a rape tape. And it had 150,000 miles on it when I got it. It was still run 13 2/4 miles. That thing was amazing. And this is a factory edition car, right? No big fat tires, no, you know, racing rails, extra traction.
Was that because it ran on leaded gas?
They ran on leaded gas, yeah. Yeah. They replaced the lead with nickel back in the day. 1975, I think, is when they started on leaded gas. And then they put those little fuel restrictors in the gas. In the neck of the tank there, where you
that
could
way
only
you could
get
put leaded gas in the unleaded engines.
Yeah.
Got it. What else, man?
That was the start of the catalytic converters and all this and whatnot. But anyway, so I guess it was my own stupidity, but I went to the county jail. They just sent my son to prison. He's in Jackson right now doing a. They got to send you someplace, so they send them there to do the 30-day quarantine and get all your shots and yada, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, all of his financial responsibilities, property taxes, yada, 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 have fallen on me because I'm the last man standing.
Mm.
So I go to pick up his property at the county jail. He finally, after about... I don't know, 20 days in Jackson, managed to scrounge up a 60-cent envelope. So he sent me a letter. He says, Pops, go pick up my property. And I'd completely forgotten about it. So I roll down there, and he destroyed his property.
What was it?
Well, when I was out west, they did the same damn thing to me.
What was the property that you were expecting to pick up that was destroyed?
I don't know. I don't know what he went to jail with, right? I cannot answer that question. The question I can answer is what happened to me when I was out west. During the Obama years, you couldn't buy a job here in Michigan. Okay, so I went out west, and I was supposed to register. Well, I couldn't get an address. So I ended up getting hemmed up by the feds because I didn't comply. Okay? I had all my property destroyed. They cut me loose in the middle of the winter in my slippers.
Wow.
With no identification, no nothing. And anyway, so this is all flashing back in my head when I go pick up my kid's property.
Mm-hmm.
I get back in my truck, and I back up. I bark my tires a little bit backing up. I get my truck straight. There's no damn cars in the parking lot. There's no people around. And I'm just flaming pissed. So I put the pedal down, and I lay about a 10, 20-foot black stripe right in the sheriff's parking lot. And I slow down, and I'm coming around the curve going out to the intersection. You know, I don't want to kill nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have done what they used to call a California roll, you know, stopping and hit a mile and a half an hour to make sure traffic's clear.
Yeah, just roll on through.
Yeah. So, now I'm facing at least 3 counts of BS.
Oh, wait, wow. So just the California rule or also including leaving a mark on the driveway?
Oh, the black stripe is careless driving, which is going to kick insurance rates up. And the California roll, I don't know if that's contestable or not, because I'm not sure if they actually got cameras on the mouth of the driveway. But, hell, I ain't got no liar for me. And if I did have a liar for me, he'd be hired by the government, and I wouldn't have a flaming chance with that bastard either.
So, wait, just to clarify, you're in the sheriff's parking lot. You peel out, essentially. But you said no one was around, so did they just happen to, they saw the black strips, then they reviewed the footage, presumably, and then they saw it was you?
Oh, yeah, this is a brand new county facility. They got cameras everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So what, they came to your house then to arrest you?
No, no, no. They just sent me a polite letter in the mail saying the big green weenie is proceeding up your ass.
The big green what?
Weenie.
Oh, weenie, okay. Couldn't quite make out what you said.
You can say that on the radio?
No, you really shouldn't say that. But
well, weenie is...
no, not that. It's
on the radio.
It's the action of the weenie.
Well, anyway, moving on. Okay, so three charges. One is reckless driving. The other is the
careless, not reckless.
Careless driving. Okay, whatever. What's the difference?
If I had endangered somebody, it would have been reckless.
I see. Careless driving.
Has everyone heard there's careless driving for just making a black mark on something that's going to get black marked up eventually anyway?
They can get you for anything, you know? So what's, is this like a violation? Is it a misdemeanor? What are you looking at here?
Hell, I don't know. I got to go deal with the big giant head.
Okay. Who's that? The lawyers? What is a big giant head?
Oz.
No, the judge. I got an arraignment coming up. I'm going to go plead my case. I'm going to give them hell as best I can.
All right. Good luck out there, Major. Give us an update when you can, okay?
Peace.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yikes.
I guess I don't have to say that wasn't a good idea, right?
Peeling out in the cops parking lot?
Yeah.
He should try Mark Stevens' script.
There you go. Let's go to Sarah. She's in New Mexico. Sarah, go ahead.
Boy, that was a major pain. And that's his name on the radio show, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, she hates drivers.
Yeah. But was he drunk? He's slurring his speech. I thought he was drunk when he called in.
I mean, he's probably pretty upset. His son just got locked up in prison.
Oh, that'll give a good reason why to get drunk to forget about that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think so.
Well, you're going to have the same problem in the morning, then you'll have the same problem and a headache.
Yeah, that's so true. Sarah, what were you calling about
tonight? No safe amount of alcohol.
Yeah. Anyways, I just wanted to bring up that I've been having a Mormon study with the Mormon sisters. And they gave me a chapter to read out of the Book of Alma. And I really want to learn. Because I really want to know if all of the bad things that they've been saying about the Mormon church is really true or not. You know, all the horrible things that they attack the Mormon.
You mean like it was made by a scam artist, those things?
Well, I mean, I heard that it's an occult from other Christian churches. I've been told that it was all just a lie, the Joseph Smith and how they found the tablets, and they found that. There's just so many attacks against the church. And what I've been finding out, what I know is that they're very, very serious about what they do. You know, Yeah, is that, I mean, to them, it's a real sacrifice to go do missions. I mean, they just, you know.
They do,
like,
yeah. That huge makes sacrifice.
It, you know, that makes it not a cult. And you're definitely going to find out in their holy book whether or not it's a cult.
The difference between a cult and religion is how long it's been around, Sarah.
Yeah, I think you can qualify the Mormons as an actual religion at this point. Now, whether
they were definitely a cult at one point, but now they're a religion. The people who believed Paul and his blathering nonsense of the Bible were a cult at one point, and then they turned into a religion. And anybody that they're calling a cult today, if they last long enough, they'll be a religion at some point.
Well, believe it or not, you know the people that came on the boat and then settled on the South America. They were actually one of the tribes of Israel. one of the 12 tribes of the Israel. Which tribe was that?
According to the Book of Mormon, not according to like any archaeologist.
Right, according to it was one of the tribes, and then the Korans carried the boats. And I've been reading the books about.
Is this what they have in the Book of Mormon? Is this where you're learning this from?
Yeah, that Raymond used to be a Mormon.
Yeah, I knew it had something to do with Raymond because he and I both lived in the same place in Utah.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So he's converting.
The title refers to Alma the Younger, a prophet and chief judge of the Nephites. Alma is the longest book of the Book of Mormon and consists of 63 chapters, taking up almost a third of the volume.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks for that. I was actually just pulling that up, too.
Yeah, it's just fascinating. I'm more learning about it because of curiosity, and it's in very old-style English. So it's very, very hard for me to understand what they're saying.
So you're going to a study group with some Mormons there in Albuquerque?
Well, what's happening is they wanted to come over to my house, but I told them I'll just have a telephone meeting. So I have a Wednesday night telephone meeting. And so they asked me to read gave me a book.
Are they not in your area? Are they like in Utah or something?
No, they have a temple here. So I went met them at Church of Sundays.
I see.
They gave me a book. So they had me read me a chapter. But they keep track of you. Would you read a chapter? And then they want to follow up like a homework, like a real study.
Like a salesman would do, right? Like
it's like going to school.
Get the prospect to make sure the prospect is going through the process. See if they have any objections.
I think they only have the best. I think they have only the best intentions, though, right? Like they want to save the eternal
soul
or whatever they're trying to do, and that's a good thing. And
the Christian church is all about entertainment. They got the loud music, and they got the coffee. They serve the donuts. They got the.
Do they not do? They don't do coffee, do they?
They didn't used to, but they do now.
Okay.
Mormons, they don't drink coffee.
No, they still
don't drink coffee. Mormons are, like, in Utah, they'll buy up all of the root beer and all of the Sprite, and you won't be able to get any in the grocery store because a bunch of them don't drink coffee.
Yeah, I think that probably the old school ones, but maybe they had a different rule on caffeine or something, but something's changed in the last couple of decades with caffeine and Mormons.
What were you going to say, Sarah? Do they drink coffee?
Oh, the Christian church is all about making you feel good. It's like entertainment. It's like going to a concert on a Sunday. They make you feel really good. But you haven't learned anything. You're not focused on any of the preaching. They don't go like, did you read that? Could I follow? Could I study with you? There's none of that stuff. It's more for just to make you feel good. You got a sugar high.
This is what we tried to tell you about Joyce Manor or Joyce Myers because...
Who is this, the televangelist lady?
It's the televangelist lady. Sarah, she's a prosperity teacher. Mm-hmm. Sarah really likes her. Any megachurch person is going to be like that. I went to plenty of churches as a kid where we learned everything about what we were reading. I mean, I was in quizzing. We learn a whole book for the year and then take quizzes on it and win little trophies and things.
But Sarah, you're saying you're burned out on this Joyce lady?
I still listen to her on TV. I think she's got a lot of good things to say. But I mean, these other Christian churches, you show up, they never keep track of you. You know, like, well, how come you didn't show up? Could we come and give you a ride?
Okay. So it feels to you like the Mormons are more concerned for you. They're paying attention to you. They want to know if you're okay. They're following up with you. And that level of that sort of personal touch is making a difference for you.
And then they make sure to go out of their way to help you, whether it's pulling weed, moving furniture, mowing their lawn. I mean, they'll go out to sacrifice, to lengths, to get members. And what it is, it actually works.
Yeah, it sounds like it is working.
Well, it's creating a community, and that's what a church is trying to do in many cases. And, I can't argue with that part. Bonnie, you're right. Coffee's not allowed. Caffeine is allowed, but you should be careful with it.
Mm. All right.
I suspect, but it didn't used to be, right? Like, it used to be the caffeine was verboten, and so it's an argument still within the church.
Sarah, are you planning on going to other religions, like, say, Islam, for instance, and exploring their beliefs?
Well, you know, they're in the this on temple here? I used to go there, and I felt very welcome. And then they had a feast, and I joined them, and they were just like any other church. And they were actually feeding the homeless people right across the street from homeless lunch place. They're very welcoming to the community.
So you know, I got to give you credit, Sarah. You have done more than the average American, I think, to explore other religious beliefs. I think most people, they just, you know, they get raised by a family. That family is whatever religion they are. They pass that on to their kids, and they either accept it and they reject it. And then that's like the end of the story. But you've actually taken the time to explore differing religious sects and viewpoints. And I think that you deserve a lot of credit for that. So
she has a lot of time. She doesn't have a job.
That's true. Thanks for the call, Sarah. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. Mr. Butt.
It's important that when you go to these events to be neighborly and bring a bottle of Jack Daniels.
To the Muslims.
To the Mormons.
Mr. Butt, calling from New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live.
What'd you call me? That's not my name. Don't hurt the butt. The butt is hurt, dude. It's
you are.
Yeah, Major Payne is also trying to steal my name. No, not the Major Payne. With the green weenie thing.
Oh, right. Okay. What were you calling about tonight?
Yeah. About last night. Wasn't that a film? And what's this about religious sex? Isn't that kind of weird? Is that like a cult? Or occult?
Let's not go there.
They're all cults.
Okay, let's not go there. So, yeah, I once lived near Tooele as well, and I talked to Donny Osmond one time. That was cool.
Really?
I did. And you were talking about Oak Ridge. Coincidentally, my grandfather's cousin, Ernest Orlando Lawrence, Nobel Prize Physics, 1939, Manhattan Project, ran Oak Ridge National Lab during World War II for the Manhattan Project. And so now what I was calling about is one sentence. I wrote one compound sentence, and I'm just going to read it in regard to the on-air mention of myself on your yesterday's program.
I heard it.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
I don't remember
it. I believe you.
I might have heard it, but...
And so anyway...
Someone said he's just as bad as David in New Mexico, I think. Something like that.
Okay, some other person.
I don't need to remember what Arya said about me. Doesn't matter. What does matter is, like I said, I wrote this. It's one compound sentence.
All right, let's hear it.
Arya's abusive communication style, full of inaccuracies and contradictions, without adherence to factual, logical, reasoned deduction, is what I was calling about. And Arya might want to refrain from treating other prisoners like that in prison. Bad things could happen, and should ask for therapeutic treatment for that personality issue and character flaw. There you go, Arya. That's my response.
I can't remember what it was either, but as soon as I heard it, I was like, David in New Mexico is going to call about this.
Damn straight. I don't miss a thing, man.
All right. Thanks for the call tonight. The number
one of our greatest fans.
603-283-6160 is the number here. And, Mark, you were telling us about the Punisher in the woke comics that apparently are a long-running tradition. Zero Hedge is trying to make it sound like this is a new thing. But maybe they're saying also it's gotten worse in recent
years. I think that's what they're saying, and there's some evidence to this. So Punisher's an icon, has been highly popular among conservatives, military veterans, law enforcement officers in recent years. The trademark skull can be found everywhere with patches and gear and flags sporting the image, often as a representation of citizens taking matters into their own hands.
Sometimes you see it on the back of cop trucks. Like their personal vehicles.
Yeah. The symbol is also seen in the January 6th protests. This has made the leftists at Marvel Comics livid. They first attempted to make fundamental changes to the character, including a redesign of his popular skull symbol, as well as taking away his guns and giving him swords in 2021.
Oh.
Instead of fighting against criminal organization, Frank Castle joins with one violating his fundamental code of ethics. Fundamental code of ethics.
There was that cop that you could see him in the school cameras at that school in what was it called in Texas, yeah, where he unlocks his phone and there's children screaming in the background and he's like just checking his phone and he has the Punisher as his background, like his wallpaper on his phone. They should have been upset that cops were using it a long time ago, way before January.
Well, I think that they've, I mean, Marvel, like any, Disney has never loved anybody co-opting their, you know, their intellectual property. So they don't like that, but there's not much they can do about it. It's just a cultural phenom.
Yeah. So this month, though, I ever heard of Punisher actually wasn't even from, like, noticing on the back of cop cars. Now I notice it more, maybe because I didn't know what it was before, but for me it was a Mexican guy that I knew loved it because he hated the cartel, and he thought that, I don't know, like, him and his family were always like, I wish that we could save Mexico, and they loved... It's just
the Punisher was like a fantasy of going after the cartels,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, and I just think that it's just a emblem of, like, I don't know, kind of, it's kind of like a ghetto thing whenever I see it. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. As soon as I see it, it's like somebody walking around with one of those, like, those DC shoes. It's just the same level as that to me.
DC shoes?
Not DC, like DC Comics. Mm-hmm. It's different.
A
it's like
brand.
This brand of, like, chunky sneakers that, like, white trash wear.
I'm looking at the logo redesign here, which, you know, people may or may not be familiar with the old logo, which is just basically a skull with, like, four long, sharp teeth kind of coming out from the area underneath the nose. And essentially it's still a skull, it's just it's now got kind of these swooping, I guess you could call them horns. So yeah. It's got horns coming off the top and got a couple
it turned it from a skull to a devil skull.
I mean, maybe.
Well, I mean, that's what it looks like.
Okay. Maybe that will turn off the conservatives because they don't like, you know, whenever Lady Gaga or some... pop star puts skulls on their heads. They're like, see, they're working for Satan. Yeah, maybe they'll quit liking the Punisher because of that.
So, going on, this month, though, Marvel officially declared the Punisher persona non grata, eliminating the character as readers know him. Did he go out in a blaze of glory? No. In typical woke fashion, Frank Castle was captured by progressive heroes, chained up, and forced to go through a struggle season in which he is admonished as a murderer and terrorist. Marvel even brings the Punisher's wife back from the dead, only so that she can divorce him and take his money and property, and then inform him that his lifelong crusade against the criminal underworld was all for nothing. Whoa. The character then dies from apparent suicide, but the story is left open to his return, not just as the gun-toting hero people know and love.
Damn, so
the
Punisher killed himself in the end.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they have a future Punisher story that goes on from there, too. So,
wow. They're really trying to push away the old fans, though, it sounds like.
Yeah.
All right, out of time for tonight.
David has to get his wife to take all of his belongings. His dead wife. It's crazy.
Hilarious. We'll see you tomorrow online. In the meantime, you can join us at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you
You want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.